Hello, and welcome to the recording for Sunday the 21st of February 21. A nice, interesting date because of the 21-2-21. We won't get that for quite a while now. And this is for the recording for the children in the way who are from year 7 and going up. So roughly aged 11 or 12. So before we go into the parable, and there's only one parable that we'll be talking about, let's try and guess what country I am thinking of. Okay, this country, for 5 points, is located in the North Atlantic Ocean. Okay, for 4 points, it is the third largest island in Europe. For 3 points, its flag has these three colors, green, white, and orange. For 2 points, there are no snakes on this island. And for 1 point, its largest city is called Dublin. Did you guess that I was thinking of Ireland? If you did, well done. Really, again, another interesting time finding out about Ireland. And one of the other things I found out about from no snakes, which is really good, no snakes are native to Ireland. And because it's an island, it's also called the Emerald Isle because a lot of its the land is quite green. There's a lot of greenery, a lot of green trees and forests and things like that. And also they use the euro in Ireland. And it's divided into Northern Ireland, whose largest city is Belfast, and Ireland, whose largest city is Dublin. So, yeah, found out a lot. Really enjoyed it. Okay, so now we're going to look at our penultimate parable 45, and this is a parable about three servants who are given talents. And we find the reading in the Bible. It's Matthew chapter 25, starting from verse 14. This is another parable that Jesus was talking about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, and trying to explain something about that again, right? So we'll read it and then we'll start talking about it, okay? So Jesus speaking says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who calls his servants and entrusts his property to them. To one he gives 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of these servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, another really harsh, harsh lesson to learn here. And we could think of these talents as in skills or gifts or aptitudes or traits that you have, or abilities to do something or other. I knit. I enjoy knitting a lot. And some people think that's very artistic. When I think about it, I don't see it as being very artistic. But I know that through my knitting, I've been able to develop other talents and skills. And I've been able to improve my drawing. So there are other artistic things that I can now do based on the knitting, because I love knitting. So we could think about these talents as skills and abilities that we have. But we could also, it says here in the Bible that they are talents of money. And if we tried, it says, to one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and another 1 talent, each according to his ability, which I think is important to realize that each of them were given according to their ability. So the master knew these guys. He knew what the servants were like. And the one who got 5 talents, there was a reason he was given 5 talents. It's because he could be trusted and relied on. So we have to ask ourselves, what talents do we have that God has given us? Whether these are skills or abilities, what talents do you have? What aptitudes do you have that God has put in you and trusted you with them? Because he knows you. He knows your ability. He knows what you can and cannot do. Because sometimes we feel like God has asked us to do something that's really hard. And maybe that's like just playing with a younger brother or sister, or putting up with a cousin or some friend who's maybe not very reliable. But God gives us those responsibilities because he knows what we are like. He knows what our abilities are. So we have to trust him more. When God asks you to do something, you should trust him. You should trust that he knows why he's asking you to do that. And trust him that he knows that what he's asking you to do is not too much for you. You can do it. Okay, so he gives us these talents according to our abilities. But if we look at this as money, 1 talent is equivalent to about 15 years' pay. So it's an awful lot of money. It's a real lot of money. It's like having 144 million pounds worth of money. It's a lot of money. So this is something that God is entrusting you to have and to do something with it. Because the Bible tells us that as soon as the one servant got it, the one who got 5, the one who could be trusted the most, he immediately went and started putting it to work. And that's what we should do with our talents and the abilities that God gives us. We should put them to work. We shouldn't just think that they are for us. They are to make God a prophet. There's another parable that is very similar to this. And it's found in Luke chapter 19 from verse 12. And it's similar in that one, and there's a man who goes to another country and returns. He gives resources to his servants. In that story, they talk about minas, and he's expecting a profit. The first 2 servants are faithful, and they are praised, and they are given greater authority. And the 3rd servant hides, in both stories, he hides the money, and then he starts giving useless excuses, saying that the master is harsh. He says he was afraid, and that's why he didn't get any profit. The first two servants are commended and rewarded, and the third one is punished. Being commended and rewarded is being similar to going into heaven, and being punished, where there's gnashing of teeth and weeping, is equivalent to being sent to hell. The unfaithful servant, in both cases, the master says to him, you should have put it into the bank, and the money would have gained interest. And in both cases, his money, the unfaithful servant, is given to the faithful servant who already has a lot. And he gains more from the master. Right, but what are the things that are different about the two stories? In the story that's in Luke, Jesus was near Jerusalem. And in this one that we're studying today, in Mark, Jesus is actually in Jerusalem. The story in Luke is highlighting that Jesus is going to be a long time before he comes back to judge the world. But the moral of the second parable is to show that God is trusting us with gifts and talents that are supposed to give him profit. In the Luke story, there are 10 servants, and there are only three in the Matthew story. In the Luke story, the master goes to gain a kingdom, and there's nothing like that. In Matthew, he just says he's going on a journey. In the Luke story, the servants get some money, but in the Matthew one, they are given different quantities according to their abilities. In the Matthew story, there are no instructions to the servants, but they go off as if they know what they are supposed to be doing. In the story in Luke, there's another group of people who are the unbelieving or the unbelievers or Jews who beat up servants and then refuse to, and then they are chucked into hell as well. So quite a few differences there. But I think in this story, we can assume that all these people are Christians. All the servants are Christians that are given instructions by God. And although he doesn't specifically say go and make profit, they already know what to do. Because as I said, the first servant goes off and does it straight away. Even the lazy servant, when the master comes back, he starts making excuses and he says, I know you, master. I know that you don't reap where you reap where you did not sow. And all of these things. And he acts as if he knows the master. If he knew the master, he would have gone and done what he was supposed to do. So he's contradicting himself there and giving excuses that actually don't hold water. And I think we can be like that sometimes. Sometimes we can sort of say, oh, yeah, I know God. I know what God wants me to do. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. And then we don't do the right thing. So we have to be careful that we are really keeping to what God wants us to be doing. Okay. And God here knows his servants. The one who gets five is the one who he trusts the most. He trusts that this guy is going to go and make the most profit. So he gives him the most to invest in. And the one who gets the least, he knows that it's very unlikely that this lazy servant will actually get anything. So he doesn't risk it by giving him a lot. And God does that with us. He gives us our abilities according to what we can handle. So when we are given a job by God, then we should know, we should trust God that we can handle that job. Even if it feels really hard, that's because God knows he's going to be by our side to give us the extra oomph that we need to be able to complete that job. So he's not expecting us to do it on our own or in our own ability. He's going to give us the resources to do it, just like he gave those servants the talents to be able to invest the money. So we are supposed to work for God. We're not supposed to be lazy. We are supposed to bring him a profit. But what does that look like? I mean, what is the work that God expects us to do? Well, if we look in the Bible, Jesus tells us that the biggest commandment, let's talk about the prophet first. What a prophet looks like for God. A prophet for God would look like saving people that are lost, helping to fill the kingdom of heaven with more people. And to do that, we have to tell other people about him. We have to tell people about God. And we have to tell them how they can trust him, how they can rely on him for anything that they are lacking. That is one of the things we are supposed to do. Jesus gave us a great commission and he said, go forth therefore and make disciples of all nations. And that is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to increase the number of the people that trust God and that are going to end up being in heaven. God also asks us to live in a certain way. He asks us to obey his commandments and to trust in him. That is not our natural tendency, but that's the way that he asks us to live in the way that he guides us to. And that is another way that we can be working for God. And then Jesus tells us that the commandments that God gives us are to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That's in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. And that is one of the most difficult things to do, that we love other people before ourselves. So we should be doing that. That's one of the things that God asks us to be doing, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. That means using all the things that God gives us, our talents, our money, our time, all those things, we should use them to show love to other people around us. And that will mean different things for different people, which is why we need to spend time talking to Jesus, need to spend time praying, so that we know what the things Jesus is asking us to do are. And we need to give the glory to God. When we have achieved these things and when we have done amazing things that that God asks us to do, we need to go back and to say, it wasn't really me. It wasn't in my power that I did all these things. It wasn't because of the things I can do. It's because of God and the power that he has given me. So we need to give that glory back to God. Just like the servants were asked to give their talents back to God, to the master. And they were asked to say, come back and give account for yourself. What did you use that money for and what profit did you make? And what about the rewards? If we look at what the three servants, how they were treated, the good servants that worked hard and did what the master wanted them to do, they were given good words from the master. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. And we should be looking for that. We should be looking for ways to make the master happy. And that when we do that, he will reward us by saying nice things and good things to us. Another thing that they were given greater responsibility. The servants who had got the profit for the master, they were told, I am going to give you more responsibility. And that's like us getting more talents. Like I was saying, from my knitting, I got more talents. I got other things that I found that I was able to do. And then the third reward that they got to enter into heaven. And it says, come and share in your master's happiness, which is similar to heaven, which is talking about the time when God is happy with us. And then he takes us into his home, into heaven. so that we can live good and peaceful lives. So that is what we should be looking for as a reward from God. So this parable is not just talking about how we can please God, but it's also letting us know that God knows us and he knows how we can live good and successful lives. And he gives us clear instructions of what we are supposed to do. We're supposed to make a profit. And it's not just about the talent, but it's using it to get the profit for God. So I hope you've enjoyed looking at that. And I hope it has helped you and maybe even challenged you and made you want to know more about what God is asking you to do. And the only way you can do that really is to speak to God, spend time in prayer, spend time reading your Bible and finding out what God wants you to do with the amazing gifts and talents that he has for you. He has already given you. Right, do take care. And remember that in 2 weeks' time, not next week, next week we've got one more parable. And then we'll be having the quiz, which should be a lot of fun. So, yeah, hope to see you then. Do take care. God bless you. Bye.